Today's first reading is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, beginning on page 158 in your pew Bibles, chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. First fruits and tithes. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time, and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you'll not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. I mentioned earlier that I went to school.
Even there.
Well, it was a sort of school where, until you were able to give it up, you had to study some Latin. And I remember a lot about sailors, farmers, woods, and tables. A mo, amas, amat, which I suppose is appropriate for Valentine's Day. But most of what I remember is, well, most of what I learned is long gone. It was 60 years ago, after all. But it's amazing what does stick. And there was a Roman god called Lollus. And, of course, all of us were delighted to realise that the feast of Lollus was pronounced ice lolly. It stayed 60 years, that. Never underestimate the powers of a teenage boy to subvert great culture. However, that brings me to an interesting bit of Latin I came across during the week. I'm reading the Archbishop of Canterbury's Lent book for this year. And into the introduction, it came up with this: Vocatus atque non vocatus Deus aderit. Bidden or unbidden, God is present. Or, if you like a more slangy translation, whether you like it or not, God is here. I like to reflect on that when I'm reading about the Richard Dawkinses of the world, who are evangelical atheists, who nevertheless are living in God's world, whether they like it or not, whether they believe it or not. So we're in the first Sunday of Lent. It's that sort of serious time. We've got our purple hangings, and a time that has traditionally, down the centuries, been set aside for reflection as we await the happenings, the events of Holy Week and Good Friday and Easter Day. A time of preparation, a time of reflection. What is reflection? Reflection is taking a good look at ourselves in the mirror, doing our best to be honest with ourselves and with God about our relationship with Him. And that's hard because we are extremely good at what Steve Jobs used to call a distorted reality field. We shape in our heads sometimes the truth to suit ourselves. And it's quite hard. No, it's very hard to be properly honest with ourselves and with God. But if we look carefully at ourselves in the mirror, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal to us what we are really like and how easily we fall short of the love of God. First, let's take a look at today's reading. That's a picture of the, or some of the Galilean wilderness, with some rocks lying around, which look pretty much like loaves of bread. And, of course, we're familiar with the story, and it was beautifully read by Jane to bring out the sort of substance of the temptations of Jesus. Temptation began, as all temptations do, with a temptation to doubt God. right back when the serpent tempted Adam and Eve at the beginning of Genesis, did God say, you're not to eat of the tree? And here we've got, if you are the Son of God, the father of lies, Satan is called, and the sower of doubt. Should you trust God? Well, is God really there? You know, why not do what you like? Did God say? Jesus responds, of course, by saying, look, man, does not live by God, by bread alone. And of course, the verse he's quoting from Deuteronomy goes on, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The next offer is power and authority. Now, this is a bit strange, really, because we all know that the power and authority over the entire world and everything in it is rightfully Christ's power and authority. And he is now reigning over everything. But at this point, Satan makes an offer with a condition attached, which is, of course, completely unacceptable. Jesus will never worship the father of lies. And Jesus responds again with words from Deuteronomy, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. In a final attempt, the father of lies himself turns to scriptures. He snatches a couple of verses out of context from Psalm 91 and talks about a promise of protection. If you throw yourself down from the temple, the angels will hold you up and stop you striking your foot against a stone. Leaving out, of course, that that promise is aimed at those who take refuge in God. Those verses taken in out of context like that amount to a temptation to test God and something that is forbidden. In the Old Testament, you shall not test. Put God to the test. So we come back to this thought. Bidden or unbidden, God is present. And I'm very struck by the story of the temptation in the wilderness by the verses that come immediately before it and immediately after it. The last thing that happens before Jesus goes off into the wilderness is his baptism. When Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, you are my son, the beloved, and with you I am well pleased. So the Holy Spirit has descended on Jesus in bodily form. And then, as the temptation begins, the verse goes, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Bidden or unbidden, God is present. And immediately after the temptations, at the beginning of the next chapter of Luke, immediately after the last verse that Jane read to us, we have this. Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. And you begin to think, yes, the Holy Spirit was with Jesus all the time. I can't help feeling that if Jesus goes into the wilderness filled with the power of the Spirit and comes out filled with the power of the Spirit, it's pretty likely that he was filled with the power of the Spirit right the way through. God was there. And God is here. Bidden or unbidden, God is present. And our job as Christians is to live in the experience of that. And of all seasons of the year, I guess Lent is probably the time above all where we reflect on the reality of our own lives. How do you observe Lent? However you do approach Lent, I hope it's in some way that will bring you closer to God. I know quite a lot of people give things up for Lent, and that's a helpful practice in the sense that it reminds us that we are in Lent, and it draws us a bit closer, perhaps just a smidgen closer, to Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. But just giving something up is of limited value if it doesn't have a spiritual dimension to it. After all, lots of people observe a dry January, but it doesn't have much to do with their faith. It has more to do with their liver. Whatever you do, whether you give something up or not, please think of positive ways of spending this Lent. Positive things to do. To join a study group, there's a list out in the Grove Room of to join a Lent group. There's a lovely table full of books to read. Read a book. Set aside. Give up some time for prayer, for reading, for reflection. Extra time to read the Bible and pray. Or make a list of kindnesses and loving actions that you could do. Things that might take you out of your way, but nevertheless would comfort or encourage or help someone else. Make Lent a positive thing. Whatever we do or don't do, Lent is the time to reflect and to look at ourselves as best we can in the light of the love and commandments of Jesus. Just as we've been looking at the temptations of Jesus this morning, look at our own temptations. I don't know what your temptations are. Don't want to know, actually. There was a horrible science fiction story once when people went around with a sort of signboard over their head which said what they were thinking. That was a horrible story. Of course, your temptations might be big ones. I don't know. I mean, are you tempted to murder someone? To commit adultery? To bear false witness against your neighbour? If you are tempted to those things, you'll probably know about it. But they're not the problem, to some extent. If you do one of those things, then you know that trouble will follow. But temptations can be much more subtle than that. There's a verse in Psalm 19, "Forgive my hidden faults." Faults, sins, well, what are sins? They are a disobedience in the face of God's commands. Would you like to read this? It's what words of Jesus, and see if there's anything wrong with it. Yes. The second is this: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other suggestion greater than these. No, of course it's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Now, if you have a suggestion, someone makes you a suggestion, you are free to ignore it completely, to follow it, or anything in between. You have free will. If it's a commandment, you also have free will. But you only have two choices: to obey it or disobey it. And this is the commandment. These are the commandments, the most important ones that Jesus set out before us. So, most of us don't break the major commandments, these very obvious sins, but in Psalm 19, who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Satan may not tempt us to armed robbery or adultery, but he does tempt us to rather more subtle and hidden sins. So hidden that we may not be aware of them unless we take a little time, set our mind to it, and think about it. What are these hidden temptations? Well, temptations to selfishness. Temptations to put my comfort above someone else's needs. Temptation to think that my own personal peace is the most important thing in the world. Temptations to live by an old Navy saying. I'm sure you're aware of the old Navy saying. No? Pull up the ladder, Jack. I'm all right. Temptations to live like that. Devil take the hindmost. Of course, that's not exactly what Jesus said. What Jesus said was, love your neighbor as yourself. So we take a moment of silence before we end this talk to reflect at the beginning of Lent and as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. Lord, if I am being disobedient to your commandment to love other people as I love myself, please show me and help me to change. And remember, bidden or unbidden, God is present.